We're going to talk this morning about the one who's more than enough. You know, God revealed himself to his people on countless occasions through Scripture. He revealed himself through his names, in other words, who he said he was. And it's so important that we know who God says he is. Amen. And so to have faith requires that we get the right information about God. Amen. How many know information is important? Okay, a few of y'all think that. That's good. Hallelujah. But let me tell you, information is really, really important. Amen. And understand that the information you get about God is going to establish the knowledge that you have of who he is. And knowledge is just the result of facts. It's the result of principles. It's the result of truths that we've gathered. Amen. And whether you realize it or not, you always are gathering knowledge. You're always gathering some truth. Sometimes that truth may not be correct, and so that's where sometimes we struggle in our faith, or we struggle in our walk with the Lord. Amen. You know, you can get information about an individual from some place, and if that information is distorted, then what's going to happen? It's going to affect your view or your perception of that individual, even if the information isn't correct. And so sometimes we get information about God, okay, that may not be correct, and because of that, it becomes distorted. And in other words, it gets twisted, or it gets out of shape. In other words, it gives a false representation. And so it's real important that we get the right information about who God is. Amen. And so we always got to be looking and acquiring truth and acquiring information and knowledge in regards to the Lord. You know, it's said in Galatians 3:1, it says, Paul speaking to the Galatians, he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians," he says, "who hath bewitched you?" He says, "who hath bewitched you that you should obey, you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth and crucified amongst us?" And so here, Paul telling the Galatian church, he says, "Listen, you've been bewitched," and that word "bewitched" there, it's actually a word that's describing there's untruths that you've gotten. There's a false representation that you've received. And because of that, it's affecting your life with Christ. It's affecting your walk with the Lord. And sometimes, church, we don't even realize that our walk with the Lord is being affected in an adverse way because we've got wrong information in regards to who God is. Amen? Now, how many have ever heard somebody talking about the Lord or talking about the things of God or talking about what God can't do or what God did do? And you kind of were like, well, that's not really right. How many have ever experienced that? That's not really right. But, you know, you hear things enough in regards to wrong information, sometimes you begin receiving that wrong information as truth. And that's just what the devil wants to do with God's people in this hour right now. Amen. And so we need to understand it's critical that we know who God is. I know that sounds real simple and real basic, but it is critical that we know who God is. Amen? Because understanding the facts, understanding the truths, understanding the principles of who God is, it enables you to exercise that God kind of faith. Amen? That God kind of faith that God's looking for in his children. Amen? God wants us to operate by faith. Mark 11, verse 22 says this. It says, Jesus speaking, he says, and he answered them and said, you need to have faith in God. And in the original text, it actually says you need to have that God kind of faith. In other words, that faith that can get a result in your life. Amen? And the reason why sometimes we struggle in our faith is because sometimes we've gotten a misrepresentation of who God is, some wrong information, okay? In other words, a distorted truth. And because of that, not even realizing, it's affected our ability to be able to believe that God can do what we need him to do. Amen? And so we're just going to talk a little bit about that this morning because we need to understand that God is the one who's more than enough. I don't know what you're facing or what you're experiencing, but let me tell you, God is more than enough. Amen? He's more than enough. Amen? So John 17, verse 3 said this. It said, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast set forth. And so here in the scripture, it talks about that God's desire for us, his desire for us, is that we might know him. And that's the idea of to learn about him. It's the idea of to be able to perceive and to understand and to gain knowledge of who God is. Why does God want us to gain knowledge of who he is? It's so that our faith can have some kind of substance to be able to stand on. I don't know if you realize this, but your faith has to have a substance, okay? Faith is just not something out there that's just floating around and, you know, it's just kind of spooky. Faith actually has substance. And what substance is, it's what something consists of. In other words, this podium here, okay, this podium consists of wood. In other words, this is the substance that this podium is made out. It's made out of wood. It's not made out of plastic. It's not made out of vinyl. It's not made out of mud. It's made out of wood. And that's the substance that made this particular podium, okay? And so you need to understand that your faith has to have substance, has to have something in which it's made out of, amen? And the substance of faith is dependent on who we discover God to be. Okay, I'm going to say that again. The substance of faith, in other words, what's going to cause your faith to have a consistency, in other words, what's going to be the substance of your faith is going to be who you discover God to be. Amen? And I know most of us in this room, we've been Christians probably a long time, you know, and, you know, we would say, yeah, we know about God. But I'm telling you, I'm on a pursuit to know who God is. I mean, I'm on a pursuit to discover who he is. You say, Pastor, don't you know who God is? Oh, yeah, I know who God is, amen, but I want to really know who God is. Does that make sense? I mean, I'm on a pursuit that, God, I want to experience you. I want to know you in a way, God, to where my faith has such substance that when I seek you, I find you. When I knock, the door's open. Do you understand? And so understand, the enemy comes, he tries to bewitch us like Paul talked to the Galatians. He tries to give a misrepresentation of truth in regards to who God is because he wants us to not have the substance that we need in order for faith to stand so that when we ask of God, we can receive from God. Okay? So that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit this morning. So the substance of faith, again, it's dependent on who we discover God to be, okay? And I don't know about y'all, I want God to reveal himself to me. You understand? I mean, it's great when somebody tells me about God, but I want God to reveal himself to me. I want God to reveal himself to you. Why? So that there can be a substance. In other words, your faith can consist of something that's real and that's solid and that's immovable to where you can base your faith on that and you know that you're going to see results because you know who God is. Okay? And so, Hebrews the 11th chapter, verse 1. This is a familiar scripture, but I want to go ahead and read it this morning. Hebrews the 11th chapter, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were made of things which do not appear. Now that's pretty heavy, okay? Think about that. In other words, things that we see and things that are seen were made from things that do not appear, okay? So he's talking about our faith. He's talking about our faith has to have some type of substance. In other words, it has to consist of something, all right? It has to consist of something. It says, verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gift, and by it, he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. It says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now let's back up. Hebrews 11:1, it says, for faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, the word substance there in the original text, in the original Greek language, that this word substance was translated to, it means the thing that supports it. It's talking about something that's underneath. In other words, something, a foundation, a substructure, okay? And so we need to understand our faith has to have a foundation, okay? It has to have a substructure underneath. It has to have something that supports it, okay? And so we need to understand that the substructure of faith is the Word of God. We have to have knowledge of God's Word in our heart because that's the substance that faith stands on, okay? I know this is simple, but we need to understand that the substance of faith. Listen, you don't pray for faith, okay? Pray for knowledge of the Word is what you need to pray for. You need to pray for knowledge of the Word. Lord, help me to gain knowledge of the Word of God. See, our faith is held in bondage through a lack of knowledge sometimes. In other words, not knowing how to act on what God said in His Word. Okay, Luke 11:28, Jesus said this. He said, blessed are they that hear the word and that keep the word. Okay, and the word hear there is the idea of giving audience to it. In other words, understanding it and allowing it to come and to bring change in our life. We gotta hear the word and then we gotta keep it. That word keep means to preserve. It's the idea to watch, to guard over. And so we need to make sure that we preserve the word in our life, that we don't let the word slip away from us. That we hold on to that truth that God has given to us. Why? So that our faith can have substance. There could be something that becomes a foundation to what we're standing on and believing God for. Okay? So if we struggle to have faith or being able to believe God for the answer for something, then you need to understand and recognize that what has to happen is that we got to grow in knowledge of who God is. Amen? We got to grow in knowledge of who God is so that our faith can have a substance, something to be able to stand on so that we can believe for God to do something supernatural in our life. And so, you know, a lot of times people say, you know, I'm trying to believe God for this. I'm trying to have faith for this. Always remember that knowledge of the Word comes before faith. You heard that? Knowledge of God's Word always comes before faith. You can't have faith in God without knowledge of His Word. Because that's the substance. That's the substance. Amen? In other words, the words of God aren't just words in a book. Jesus even said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And this is living. This is a living epistle that God has given to us. And so when I get God's word in my spirit, get God's word in my life, it begins to become a foundation, a substance in me. In other words, it begins to be something that I can stand on and trust God and begin to gain knowledge of who God is so that my faith will be able to have something to believe in. Amen. Proverbs 4, verse 5 says, get wisdom. It says, get understanding. It says, forget it not, neither decline from thy words of thy mouth. Forsake her not, speaking of wisdom and understanding, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal things. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting. Get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee into honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thee a head of ornament of grace and a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. So it says here that we need to get wisdom. We need to get knowledge. We need to get understanding in our life. Why? Because that's the substance of our faith. And like I said, what happens sometimes with believers is that we struggle with faith because we're not really sure who God is because there's been a distortion of truth that's caused us to struggle with believing that God is a healer, that God is a deliverer, that God is a provider, that God is a God of peace, that He's a God of joy, that He's a God of strength. We struggle with sometimes those things. Why? Because the enemy has distorted those truths from us, and so we have a distorted perception of God, not knowing whether or not He can do those things for me. And the reason why we question that is because we don't have the substance underneath us, the foundation underneath us of God's Word to support us to where we can stand and believe. Okay? And so here in Proverbs, it says what you need to do is you need to get wisdom. You need to get understanding. You need to get knowledge. Why? Because that's the most important thing so that you will be able to have the faith that you need to be able to believe in God. Amen? You need to know who God is. And the word getting, That word get there is an interesting word because it's a Hebrew word that was translated from, and it means to erect something. It's the idea of to erect something. In other words, to build upon something to where you've established something in your life that stands like a memorial, like a statue, like a building, like a fortress, that you've erected something in your life. And what we've erected knowledge, wisdom of truth, and that wisdom, when we erect it and make it stand in our life, then it becomes a foundation to us, to where we have a substance, to where we know who God is and we cannot be moved. How many know Christians, you may know a Christian who's been moved? And what I mean by moved is that they will believe in God for something, and now they're not believing God for that. And the reason why is because they've been moved. They've been moved off their foundation. They've been moved off what they were trying to erect in their life. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever seen, well, I've seen this with my grandkids. They have these building things. Jude loves to build stuff. And they got these, they're pretty cool. It's like a plastic thing. It's got magnets in it, and you stick them together, and you can build a lot of stuff with it, you know. And Jude gets into it, and he builds. He got these big things that he builds, and all of a sudden his brother, being a brother, comes flying through, whoosh, and his building gets collapsed, okay? But, you know, that's how the enemy does. We start to build, believing God for what God has promised us, and then all of a sudden the enemy comes and he tries to knock down what we are erecting, okay? But that's where we need to be steadfast and immovable and stand and having done all the sin and build such a foundation that the enemy cannot knock it down. Now, Jude got wise after the few times that his thing that he was building got knocked down, and then when he would catch brother coming out the corner of his eye, he would stand. Okay, I'm telling you, he would stand, and having done all of that, he would stand and he would wrestle brother, because brother's not going to knock down what he just built. But let me tell you what, man, that is the principle of the kingdom. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. It may have happened once, it may have happened twice, it may even have happened three or four times, but it wasn't going to happen again. Because he was going to stand, and him and brother were going to get into it. Why? Because he didn't want what he erected to be knocked down. Church, that's what we have to do. We have to stand when we've been erecting a foundation in which our faith is to stand on. In other words, what we're believing God for, what we're trusting God to do. And the enemy, in times past, he may have come and he may have knocked with you, and all of a sudden there was, you know, a question in your heart and a struggle within being able to believe for God to do that very thing. But you've erected it again, and now what you need to do is you need to stand and say, devil, you are not going to knock this down. I believe this is what God is. I believe this is what God will do. I believe that this is God's promise to me, and I am not going to let you remove me from his promise. I'm going to stand, and I'm going to see God do something supernatural. Why? Because God is more than enough. Come on, God is more than enough for whatever you have need of in your life this morning. So understand, your faith has to have substance. So we got to make sure that we don't have a lack of knowledge of God's word and who God says he is. Amen? Listen what the scripture says in Psalms 119, 130. It says, the entrance of your word gives light. The entrance of your word gives light. The word entrance is actually a picture of something unfolding. You know how you read a book? And you read one page, and then you open and you unfold and you read the next page, and all of a sudden it gives you a little bit more understanding, a little bit more insight as far as what you're reading. Well, that's what it says. It says the entrance of your word, it gives light. In other words, the unfolding of your word, Lord, you know, as I continue to build it and build upon it in my life, the unfolding of your word, Lord, it gives light. Now, we read earlier It says, this is eternal life. Jesus said that this is eternal life, that you might know him. And so understand that the scripture in Psalms, the entrance of your word, it gives light. And this is eternal life, that you might know me. Okay? We need to understand that when God's word is continually unfolding in your life, then what happens? God's light breaks through. God's eternal life breaks through into your life. You begin seeing results that you've been believing God for. Amen? And so we need to understand that let that unfold in us, God's truth. So understand this one. A lack of knowledge of the word of God holds you in bondage. It keeps you from being able to act on what God says, to act on what God's word says. You cannot act on God's word past your knowledge. If you never knew that a car key could start your car, you would never stick that key into the ignition and start your car. If you didn't know that, that's what that was for. And so you can't go past your knowledge. We struggle with faith sometimes because we have a lack of knowledge in regards to what God's word says or who God says he is. And so our faith comes to almost like a grinding halt sometimes. All right? So we need to understand the importance of learning how to act on God's word. And to act on God's word, you know what that means? It means just to believe that God's word's true. If I'm going to act on God's word, that means I'm going to believe that what he said is true. I'm going to believe what he said is true. Amen? So I need to know the character of God. I need to know his heart. Why? So that I can act on his word, so that I can believe that what he said is true. Now, how many know when you believe in God for something, you hear a lot of things? You hear a lot of things why it's not going to work for you. Why it's not going to change. Why it's going to stay the same. You know, well, this is just something you're going to have to live with. You know, this is something that, you know, is irreversible. Let me tell you, God is enough to reverse anything, to change anything, to do anything. It just depends on where our knowledge is. Because it's where our knowledge stops is where our faith stops. Okay? So we got to get, with all our getting, we got to get understanding. I need to erect that. I need to keep building. You know, I got to keep building that God is who he said he is. And even though the enemy may come and try to throw a blow and try to knock that, what I'm believing God for, down, I got to keep building. Until I get to a point to where I'm going to resist the enemy and not allow him to steal what I know God is doing in my life. Okay? It says in Hosea 4:6, it says, for my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Because of a lack of knowledge, we're destroyed. So, Pastor, I've been a Christian for a long time. I know a lot of stuff. Yeah, I understand that. We can know a lot of stuff. There's a difference in just knowing a lot of stuff than acting on the stuff. Come on. I know a lot of people that know tons of Bible verses, but I'm telling you, they don't believe the Bible verses. In other words, they don't act on them. Okay? We got to believe what God says. Amen? I want to act on his word. I want to act on his promises. Amen? So your faith is going to grow the more of an understanding of you recognize who God is and recognize who his word is. Amen? Faith always sees. Okay? Faith always sees. There's no such thing as blind faith. Okay? Faith always sees. Okay? Faith is to see through the eyes of who God is. That's how faith is supposed to operate. Your faith is to see through the eyes of who God is. See, when God reveals himself through us, to us through his word, he's trying to get us to see him through his eyes. Okay? What we struggle with is that faith looks beyond what we see in the natural. This is where the struggle comes. Faith always looks beyond what we see in the natural. And the reason why people struggle with faith is due to the absence of knowledge. So if I have knowledge of what God sees, am I making sense? If I have knowledge of what God sees, how God has revealed himself, okay, then I'll be able to look past what I see in the natural. Okay? You'll be able to look past what you see in the natural. Faith always sees. If you can't see an outcome that God sees, then you need to acquire more knowledge. Because I'm telling you, God sees something that is good. God sees a future. God sees a hope. Okay? And so we need to understand that. And so faith always sees. So where to see the one who's more than enough? And all of this was just an introduction into where I'm trying to go right now. Okay? Hallelujah. I love the names of God. I don't know if you've ever studied the names of God, but I love the names of God. God revealed himself in several different ways in Scripture. He revealed himself as Elohim, as Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Sidkenu. He revealed himself as Jehovah Rapha, the healer, Jehovah Rohi, our shepherd who will lead us, who will guide us. And he revealed himself in so many ways to the children of Israel. And one way that God revealed himself was El Shaddai. And I want to talk to you just for a moment this morning. I'm not going to keep you long on this because I believe God wants to deposit something into your spirit. El Shaddai, when you read in Scripture, there's places in Scripture where it talks about Almighty God. It uses the translation Almighty God. And in the Hebrew, it's actually Shaddai. It's talking about El Shaddai. It's talking about God Almighty. Okay? And the word Shaddai, it actually means the one who is the most powerful. It's talking about a powerful God. It's talking about the Almighty God. And the word El Shaddai, it's talking about the mighty God, the one God. Okay? And so El Shaddai, it actually means that he is self-sufficient. He's the God who, he doesn't really need anything. Why? Because he is everything. Okay? He doesn't really need anything. Why? Because he is everything. He's the self-sufficient God. He doesn't need anything. In fact, the word El Shaddai talks about the God who sheds or pours out. In other words, it's a picture of God constantly giving, constantly wanting to provide, constantly wanting to meet your need. Okay? In other words, he is all-sufficient. In other words, there's nothing that God lacks. I believe that there's nothing that God lacks. In other words, he's God. Amen. And when he revealed himself to his children in Scripture as El Shaddai, he was revealing himself as the all-sufficient God, the God that has more than enough, that doesn't need anything, the God that wants to take what he has and he wants to pour it out on you. So understand one thing in regards to what God revealed to his children. He revealed to Abraham in Genesis 17:1. And I'm not going to read all the scripture. You can read through the scripture, but Genesis 17, 1 through 8. God as El Shaddai, he revealed himself as the God who makes good his covenant. How many know God has made a covenant with us? Jesus said that the covenant that he's made with us is a better covenant than that was made with the children of Israel in the old covenant. And so it talks about that we have a new covenant, okay? And so El Shaddai means that he is the God that makes good his covenant. And the reason why is because he is the God who is more than enough. So understand that God has made a covenant with us. He said he'd be our healer. He said he'd be our deliverer. He said he'd be our peace, our joy. He said he'd be a multitude of things to us. Amen. And he's made covenant in regards to that. Amen. Genesis 17:1 says, and when Abraham was 90 years old, the Lord God appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. I am El Shaddai, Abraham. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make a covenant between you and me, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. So God says, Abraham, I'm going to reveal myself to you as El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough, the God that wants to pour out my blessings upon you. And understand, Abraham, that I am the God that will make good a covenant that I have made with you. Now, how many believe that God's made a covenant with us? He's made a covenant with us. And we need to understand what that covenant all involves. But he's made a covenant with us. And we're not going to go into all that this morning. But he's made a covenant with you. In other words, he's made a pledge. He's made a promise. He's made oaths. He has said that this is what he would do. And so as El Shaddai, and this is where we need to acquire knowledge. Why? So that our faith has a foundation to stand upon, that when the enemy comes to try to knock down what we are erecting in which we're believing God for, that we know that he is the God who does what? He makes sure that he fulfills his oath, his promise, his pledge, his promises to you and I. If he said that he's going to be my God, I'm going to believe that he's going to be my God. Amen? If he said that I am his child, then you know what? I believe that I am his child. When he said that I am a son of God, I believe that I'm a son of God. That's part of the covenant. When he says that he's my healer, I believe that he's my healer. And so understand, in knowing who God is, he revealed himself that he is El Shaddai. He is the God that is more than enough. He is the God that doesn't need anything because he is everything, and that he wants to pour out who he is to you. And one thing that he is, he's a God that makes good on his word. He makes good on his word. If he said he's going to do that for you, Yvonne, he's going to do it. Amen? If he said he's going to do that for you, amen, he's going to do it. El Shaddai is the God who pours out blessings and gives richly and abundantly. How often? Continually. When you read in Deuteronomy 28, it reveals El Shaddai to us. Deuteronomy 28:1 says, "And it shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commands which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God, he will set thee above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee, overtake thee, if thou will hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of the ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when you'll come in, and blessed shalt thou be when you'll come out." It says that he's going to cause your enemies to flee from you. Oh, it talks about what El Shaddai will do. It says that I will continually bless you. I will continually cause blessings and abundance to come to you. If what? If you have built a foundation and believe in who I am. See, the whole thing is about believing in who he is. We got to believe in who he is. So how do I believe in who he is, Pastor? You got to have a foundation of understanding and knowledge of who God is, so that you have some substance for your faith to stand on. And that's the Word of God. I got to go to the Word of God, and I got to begin erecting what I see God's Word says. I got to erect that in my life. I got to build this thing in my life. God, you said that you would pour out blessing upon me. So I'm going to hold on to that. We're going to hold on to that. God's going to pour out blessing upon us. Amen? El Shaddai is known to those who have staked a claim in God. Listen, guys, you got to dig your roots down. You got to become established in the things of God. Psalms 91:1 says, "He that dwells in the secret place of El Shaddai, under the shadow of El Shaddai." He says, "I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, under his wings shall I trust. His truth shall be my shield and buckler." Now, back up, because this is what it's saying here. It's saying this, listen. You will know El Shaddai in a way that no one else knows El Shaddai. He'll be your deliverer. He'll be your healer. In other words, he'll be your refuge. He'll be your fortress. But you're going to have to do something. What you're going to have to do is you're going to have to stake your claim in God. In other words, you're going to have to dwell in the secret place. The word dwelling in the secret place means you're going to have to sit down and make sure that your roots are in Him. Your roots have to be in God. You can't believe God one day and not believe Him the next day. You got to be convinced. Paul said it like this. He said, I am persuaded. I am persuaded. That's what he said, man, I believe this. And there is nothing that's going to be able to deter me or cause me to not believe what I believe that God is. And so understand, if you're going to experience El Shaddai in your life, I mean, this God that has everything, this God that is more than enough, this God who wants to pour what He has on you, He wants to cause the covenant to become real to you. He wants blessings and His goodness to come upon you, coming in and going out. Then you're going to have to make sure that you've come and you've made your dwelling in Him. In fact, the words there, he that dwelleth in the Hebrew, it actually not only means to dwell or to sit down, but it means to become married to. It was a word that was used in relationships. He says, if you'll become married to El Shaddai, He's going to be your refuge. What happened? You know what happened? So a lot of times Christians divorce God. Well, I just don't like what He told me. I just don't like the way He's handling things. And so we leave. God talked about that with the children of Israel. He talked about them being an adulterous nation. He said, you're supposed to be married to me, God was saying. He said, and here you are, you're going over here and you're going over there, you're trusting in this, you're believing in that. And whether we realize it or not, sometimes the modern church, we do the very same thing. But if we're going to experience El Shaddai in our life, man, we're going to have to be married to Him. We're going to have to dwell in His residence. We're going to have to say, God, listen, I'm going to sit down at your table every day. God, I'm going to experience your presence in my life. God, I'm going to go after you. Why? Because, God, I want to experience everything that you have and who you are in my life. Guys, we got to get real with God. Amen? We're not supposed to just be dating God. Come on. You hear me? We're not supposed to be on a date with God. You're supposed to be married to Him. Hallelujah. We're supposed to be married to God. And a lot of times we're going on dates with Him. Well, I'm going to go out with God tonight. No, you're supposed to be married to God. Amen? Everything contrary. Everything that's come against your life to try to create difficulty, you need to understand El Shaddai is the God that comes to work on your behalf. Remember Jacob? I'm not going to go into this story, but remember Jacob? He went to Laban's house. He wanted to marry Rachel, and he ended up with Leah. And he was deceived. Do you know God worked on his behalf? You know, you may feel like there's things going on in your life and you say, man, God, I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through. I'm sure Jacob thought, hey, God, I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through. I did what the man said do. He worked for him for so many years to be able to acquire Rachel. And then all of a sudden there was a deception that took place and it didn't happen. He ended up with Leah. And now he's come back and said, you're going to have to work for me for another 7 years. But you know what God did? God told Jacob to do this. He said, I want you to take some stakes. He says, I want you to put them in the ground. Striped stakes, spotted stakes. Talking about like a piece of wood. Put it in the ground. And he says, what's going to begin to happen is all the cattle, they're going to begin giving birth to spotted and striped offspring. And Laban told Jacob, he said, listen, you can have everything. Every piece of cattle that's not pure. Because he was always having pure cattle. They were coming out white. You know, they were coming out one color. And so God told Jacob to do this, and all of a sudden, man, the cattle started producing spotted and speckled and striped animals, and they became his. He left with wealth. In other words, God turned the situation. I don't know what your situation is, and it may feel like you've just, you know, gotten a situation where, man, this shouldn't happen to me because I'm a Christian, okay? But I'm telling you, if you will trust in God, if you will recognize who El Shaddai is, he's going to come to your aid, and he'll turn what seems to be an impossible situation, he'll turn it around on your behalf. Why? Because he's the God that's more than enough. He's the God that's more than enough. Amen? So have an expectancy, church. We've got to have an expectancy to see El Shaddai in our life. We've got to have an expectancy that we're going to see his power at work on our behalf. Amen? I mean, he's El Shaddai. He's more than enough to heal you. Man, my heart has just been big for people saying, God, man, I want to see your power released to your people to bring health and healing to their body. And God, I know you're more than enough. So you know what I'm doing? I'm erecting. I'm building. I'm saying, God, I want my faith to have such substance to know that, God, you are the healer. That, God, your people are going to see healing take place in their life. He's more than enough to be able to give supernatural provision for your home, for your business. I don't know what you're facing, but I'm telling you, God's able to supply. There's nothing impossible for God. There's nothing impossible for him. I'm believing that God's going to supernaturally cancel debt for y'all. Why? Because he's the God that's more than enough. He wants you free. He wants you blessed. Some of you have been worrying about retirement. I'm believing that God's going to give you a windfall. You know God can do in one moment what you couldn't do in a whole lifetime. You know that? The disciples, what they did, they went fishing. They reeled in a fish, had gold coin in their mouth. Come on, why? Because they were serving El Shaddai. That doesn't mean we all go out fishing this afternoon. But I'm saying, we got to believe that God will supply your need. Amen? That God will supply your need. And don't limit how he's going to do it. Just know that he's going to do it. We got to have some substance knowing who he is. He's a God that's always, always on time. He's always at work. He never slumbers or sleeps. He knows when you get up. He knows when you lie down at night. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows every intricate detail about your life. He fearfully and wonderfully made you. You're his people. You're the sheep of his pasture. Well, Pastor, then what's the problem? Well, it's not God that's the problem. Sometimes it's that we're like the Galatians. We've been bewitched. We've got partial truths. We've heard this one say this. We've heard that one say that. Why this won't work like this. Why this can't happen like that. You should do it like this. And not realizing that God wants us to look to him. And say, okay, God, I need to see you and only you. Lord, my foundation needs to not be on what they say or this that they've said, but God, my foundation needs to be on what you've said. Lord, help me to erect that in my life so that my faith has some substance. My faith has something that it consists of. In other words, it consists of what God, you said. So that when the enemy comes and tries to knock it down, I know that there's a God that's more than enough. His name is El Shaddai, and he's going to make good his covenant. Come on now. He's going to make good his covenant. He's going to pour out his blessings upon me. He's going to be my God. He's going to help me to overcome any difficulty that we may face in our life. So he's more than enough to heal you. El Shaddai is more than enough to give you supernatural provision for your home, for your business. He's more than enough to deliver you from tormenting and oppressive spirits that come against you in your life. He's enough to deliver you from overwhelming circumstances and situations. He's a miraculous God. Amen? So understand, He's the God that does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think. Ephesians 3, verse 19. It says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. We serve El Shaddai, church. A mighty God.